Another episode of Ignite Your Power, the Kathy Mao podcast, the space where self-love, healing, and inner power take center stage. Today, I am so honored to be joined by the powerhouse, Deborah Weed. She's the visionary behind the Self-Worth Initiative, the Bold Quills Up movement, and the vibrant soul-stirring Paisley the Musical, which we will talk more about later. With decades of experience in marketing, entertainment, and deep personal transformation, Deborah helps women rewrite their stories, especially after experiencing rejection, betrayal, burnout, or chronic illness. Her work isn't just about recovery, it's about radical reinvention and reclaiming the pen of your life. In this episode, Deborah opens up about the health challenges that left her bedridden the moment she turned toward holistic healing and how she began to rebuild her life, this time on her own terms. If you've ever felt stuck, silenced, or unsure of your worth, this episode will remind you that your power has never left and you just get to reclaim it. So let's dive in. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, Kathy. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to have you here today. And I love your background, by the way. That's so beautiful. Is that part of the musical that you're writing about?
Ooh. Yes.
And yeah, let's get into that. So what actually inspired you to start writing a musical, and how do you feel like that's going to empower other women or other people to claim their power?
Well, it started with a book, actually. I wrote a children's book called Paisley's Last Quill. And what it's about is this little, well, first of all, I needed a protagonist, right? But I needed a protagonist that really was able to protect themselves so you could see it. And for me, the perfect protagonist was a porcupine, because porcupines use their quills to protect themselves. So, but this porcupine, she dreams of being a fashion designer. But in the animal fashion world, porcupines must use their quills as pins for a very, very stylish diva by the name of Zivana, who creates these couture over-the-top designs. And so along the way, Paisley is giving away a piece of herself or her power until she's down to her last quill. And then it's what happens with her last quill that makes the difference. And the reason that I wrote the children's book, it was always meant to be a musical. That was always my dream. But I wanted to get it down as proof of concept. And I wanted to show the idea for little girls to begin with, that when you give away power, you really are giving away a piece of yourself. Because I truly, truly believe, Kathy, that we don't get stuck because of fear. A lot of people feel that way. But I think we get stuck because we give away our power quill by quill.
Ooh, that is so good. I love how you like actually put it into a story like that, because it is true. And especially women, we do give a lot of our power away to other people, because that's what we're taught in this, in our society at a young age. And even women's health is not even taught to us. So imagine that, how our power is literally taken away from us. And we don't even notice that. So it's beautiful that you correlated with the quills, because it is true. We do give our power to other people. But when you reclaim it and you actually remember how much power you have, it just feels you. Like, you know how worthy you are, and it just feels good. And it gives you confidence, right?
Exactly. And the reason that I wanted to do a musical is, like, I don't know about you, but when I went to Wicked for the first time, oh my gosh, you know, to have those characters and those songs, like when you sing songs, you're really kind of subconsciously programming yourself. And how many times, like, we have our sad song that we go to, we have our happy song that we go to, but this musical that I'm creating, I want to take everybody on a journey where Paisley gives away her power and we can feel it. We can go, oh, that's me. I feel that way. That's what I've done to fit in. But I want all the magical realism of a fashion forest, an animal fashion forest, where all the fashion is made from nature, and all the backbiting that goes on between the top models and body image and everything else that we struggle with. I want to be put on stage in a big and magnificent way.
That's so beautiful. I love how you're making it a musical too. Have you always been into musicals? And first off, yes, when I went to my first musical, which was Wicked, it was so nice. I was like, whoa, I've never really experienced it. You don't really understand it until you actually go see one. It's a different feeling. It does give you like a lot of emotions and all these things that is a really cool experience. And now you're doing one, which is so amazing. But have you always been into musicals, or you've always had the interest in writing musicals or in music in general or writing?
Well, ever since I was 16, my mom had an entertainment agency. So ever since I was 16, I was creating shows, whether it be murder mystery weekends, interactive production, or musicals for kids and their families. That's always been part of my life. Even, you know, it's been thread through everything. But this time I'm going for my big over the top dream because, you know, I don't have the $1 million budget that so many people do when they're getting the musical out there. But I watched how Paisley's Last Quill, that was the book that I created for children, the little girls would go to their mom and they'd be like, I love this book. I love Paisley so much that they'd actually sleep with the book. And even more important, their moms came back to me and said, heck with the girls, heck with our daughters. This is for me. And that's what spurred me on to go, you know what? I always wanted to do something like magnificent. Let me just go for it. And sometimes, as you'll hear more of my story, sometimes when you're down for the count and you have nothing more to lose, that's when you can go for the big over the top dream.
Yeah. And so what moment in your life, I know you went through some health issues where you were bedridden. So let's kind of talk about that, because I'm sure that's what kind of got you inspired to start writing your books and to start writing your musical, right?
Exactly. I had been at the top of my game in corporate as the director of development for Citibank. Man, I just, you know, things were wonderful handling 19 branches. And I also worked on a $26 million pavilion with Disney and Universal Consultants. A pavilion is like, it's a small world after all. You know, you go into a ride show. So I had the great opportunity to do that. But when I was in Citibank and corporate, I never smiled. So I think that spirit kind of had an idea that, you know, we're going to get her out of there, whether she likes it or not. So I ended up having a mystery illness, something that really took me down, where the pain was off the charts. It felt like I was having a baby every day. I couldn't move. I was literally in bed for 3 years. And I went from doctor to doctor. And the first doctor would say, oh my gosh, you've got MS. And then this next one would say, you have Lou Gehrig's. And then the next one would say, you have, it's all in your head. And when you have somebody who's like, you know, an overachiever, let's call that, you know, who really is striving, and nobody's really on the same page, because if you have doctor and doctor and doctor and doctor, and nobody's saying the same thing, what are you supposed to believe?
Yeah.
What are you? So you start to talk about giving away my power. I mean, that's what you do sometimes when you feel so fragile. You don't have a voice anymore. What happens? So I literally was in bed for 3 years until a penny saved my life.
What?
A penny.
Wow.
Because I heard about a 1943 pure copper penny that could be worth $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, here I am feeling pretty worthless, because that was the other thing. During that time period, everybody abandoned me. I mean, they were there for a while, but when you don't know what you have and you feel like you're dying every day and you can't get out of bed, but you kind of look good and nobody knows what to make out of it, you're panicking. And it was like, well, you know, a penny. If nobody would, if people most likely walk by and say that's not worth anything. And yet this 1943 penny didn't have a silver slat in it, a steel slat. It was all copper. It was made by mistake.
Yeah.
And because it was made by mistake, it was like, wow, if a penny could be worth that much, which seems worthless, what am I worth? And then I started thinking, what can I do with this? I mean, like, you know, hey, I'm in bed, I'm stuck. Yes, I'm in pain. Yes, it's like, I feel desperate, but my creativity kicked in. And I started to create my first book and musical called The Luckiest Penny. And once I started to get my health back, when they figured out what was wrong, I started this self-worth initiative because my self-worth had plummeted. It had been nil. And I realized something really important. Most people think that self-esteem and self-worth are the same things, and they're not.
What are the differences?
Self-esteem is when you do something amazing, you're like, ah, I've got self-esteem. Look at what I did. Isn't this wonderful? You know, it's kind of like the ego's thing that's like, look at this, and then I did this, and then I did that. But self-worth is something that's not determined by anything on the outside. It's all on the inside, and it's what we say we're worth. Mm-hmm. The antidote to bullying is actually self-worth, because nobody, like if you really believed in yourself and you knew how much you're worth, I could tell you anything, Kathy. I could say anything to you and it wouldn't matter. But if you don't have self-worth and you're going after the self-esteem all the time, then somebody can say something and all of a sudden it hits hard. And so I decided once they figured out what had transpired. So what had happened is that I had a fibroid tumor the size of a grapefruit. It was behind my uterus, but this was during the time when they didn't have like internal ultrasound. They could only do it on the top. Mine was behind the uterus. The reason I felt like I was dying is because I was literally, I mean, this is a trigger warning, bleeding out every day. They had thought that that was just heavy menstruation. They never checked my iron. My iron had been between a 3 and a 6 when they checked, and my doctor said I should have been dead. He doesn't even know how I survived. So that was what had transpired to take me down. And I also made a conscious decision. Like I knew how much I hurt, to the point of maybe not even wanting to be here anymore, because the physical pain, the emotional pain was way too much, that I really wanted to pay it forward. I understand profoundly when somebody is going through something, because I've had a lot of challenges in my life. It's just that I've taken the challenges and turned them into books and musicals that have inspired thousands of people. And now I'm going for the biggest one of all.
Yeah, which is amazing. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing your story. That's wild that you had this tumor and finally they were able to detect that and to, I'm sure, get rid of it, right? But that's insane. 3 years, 2 to 3 years of this pain. And I can only imagine, because I have endometriosis.
Oh, geez.
Oh, having pain is just excruciating. Like it literally feels like your insides are burning and you can't do anything about it. And having that pain every day, like, whoa, that's insane.
Yeah. Kathy, I wanted out. You know, there was a couple of times where it was just like too much. And it was the creativity or the life force in me that I guess was so powerful. And also, I think when we get a mission or we feel purposeful, like I went from feeling worthless to, they always say you need to teach what you need to learn. And I needed to really, you know, going to doctor, looking them in the eye and say, I am dying. I don't know what's wrong. And having them say, no, you're fine. Or that, you know, and you're kind of like, wait a minute, what happened to my voice? I'm saying something. Can't you hear me? And the desperation that we can feel you know, so many people right now, they go through mystery things with COVID and all kinds of things that are happening right now. And there's so many women out there that are on the sidelines that probably feel like I did, and they don't know how to take their quills back. And I'm passionate about sharing everything that I can so that they can take it back.
I love that. We're on the same mission. I'm the same way. I feel like I did give the Western medicine so much power, like the doctors, and a lot of the endometriosis community feels like this, women who go through that, because they feel like it's just in their head, or, you know, they get dismissed and they're just like, oh, it's just period pain. It's because literally the Western medicine is not educated about endometriosis and women's health in general. So of course they're only avenue is to either give you birth control or go the other avenue of giving you a hysterectomy or a laparoscopy. It's like two extremes, right? And there's nothing in the middle. So that's where my holistic route with finding holistic medicine came about. But did you do anything holistically? What did you actually do to feel empowered or get your power back from your diagnosis and your health journey?
Yeah, the first, I've had three go rounds with mystery, interesting thing.
Oh, goodness.
I think spirit has kind of this thing that it prods me. It's like at the time, it feels like my life is over. I'm done. That's it. But then the next chapter is like, I come back harder, you know, and more. I just recently looked up what healing really means, and healing means whole.
Yeah.
And what I make that mean for myself is that I'm finally, at my age, being a grandma, starting to love every aspect of myself, even the part that I might have pushed away before. But one, so the first one with the Luckiest Penny and the Self-Worth Initiative, I didn't really know a lot about holistic healing. But the second one, boy, was that an interesting thing, because I went to my acupuncturist. I had another situation where they were trying to check on something and they needed to put gadolinium in my arm. Gadolinium is like a heavy metal toxin. You know, it's like nuclear medicine. But they missed my vein and they put it in my arm. My arm swelled up, and it's another thing that can pretty much take you out. And so many people have gotten stuck with that and have never recovered. And for this one, I went to an acupuncturist, Kathy, and this acupuncturist said, these needles, they're not, and maybe subconsciously that started the porcupine thing, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. When he was putting in the needles, and he said, Deborah, I don't think that this is going to help you. I think that your cure, get ready for this, is improv. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you talking about? I can hardly stand up. I have no energy. Why are you telling me to go to improv? And he said, because I feel that your personality is such that we need to reignite it with something more powerful than what your body is experiencing right now. So my husband would take me, and I could hardly walk. I could hardly talk. But I started laughing and laughing. And I had produced so many shows, but for me to try to be on the other side of it was like, you know, it just lit my system up. And sure enough, I truly believe that not only the acupuncture and all the other modalities that I've worked through holistically, laughter is really good medicine.
Yeah, laughter really is. I truly believe that. And right now, a lot of us are forgetting how simple things can just make you laugh, or just laughing in general. You know, more people are just on the serious side. And I feel like we need more laughter. And that's why I love being around kids or being with my daughter. She always just brings me just pure joy and happiness. And they're just so simple minded. And you're just like, wow. My daughter literally said the funniest thing today. Like, she copied me, and she tells her dad, "You're crazy, daddy." And I just laughed this morning because I was like, oh my gosh, that's something I probably said, and she mimicked me.
How old is she now?
She's almost three, but she's still two. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That is, I know, you know, kids, they live in wonder. They live in laughter. When they're happy, they're happy. When they're sad, they're sad. When they're angry, they're angry. And they allow all of those pieces because they don't know any better. So what does it mean when we know better? And then we try to stifle the wonder because of the uncertainty that, you know, there's so much fear going around right now. How can you not feel something? But instead of just allowing that to, one thing that I'm so strong on right now, and it's taken me so long to learn this. I used to try to, because of spirituality, right? Just push away the negativity, push it away, put it down, hide it. Well, guess what? I hit it so well that physical manifestations would come up. You know, there were not because of me, but I'm sure that that made it a lot worse. And now it's like I allow the feelings and embrace them and feel it fully. And I'm really, really noticing that when I do that, they kind of just go away.
Yeah, because you're allowing the emotions to feel and go through. And that's what the human experience is, to feel all our emotions, even the sadness, the fearness, whatever it is. But we always try to tuck it or hide it away. And that's where manifestation of, yeah, chronic illnesses, etc., happen too, if you think of it in a spiritual, energetic level. But I noticed that, yeah, like you said, when you actually let fear and get those emotions to feel instead of resisting, they'll come and you're like, oh, okay, I noticed. You kind of get like scared a little bit, but you allow it in and then you know how to release it though. Somehow you're going to release it because you allowed it in to let go. And so that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, because that confirms what I've been learning about the nervous system and how we do really need to feel our emotions, and our nervous system can't feel or actually recalibrate and do its thing if we never allow our bodies to truly feel what we're meant to feel, all the emotions in general. And so that's so funny too, that there's so many alignments with your health journey as well. So me going through infertility, that's how I ended up knowing about my endometriosis that was causing my infertility.
Wow. And then,
so now going part two, so I'm trying for baby number two because I got a miscarriage last September. And so I'm doing like another round of like, not IVF or anything, but just natural, just all holistic things. And I'm going to acupuncture, and acupuncture really is amazing. And that's so cool that you went to an acupuncturist that was able to just tell you like, hey, I'm not going to be able to prick you. You need to go do something else. And that's amazing. And that's where holistic health literally gives you your power though. They give you all these options instead of saying, oh, you don't have anything, or just take this drug, or, you know, like something extreme. And you just feel like you actually have a grasp in your own health too. And it's not just about them taking your money or thinking you're just a lab rat of some sort. They know energetically you're a human soul being. And so, yeah, I love acupuncture. If you have not gone yet, I talk a lot about acupuncture and TCM. I'm all about that.
I love it. And he was so, you know, to have that kind of perception, to this day, I really do think that saved my life again, you know, on the second one. It was like, and who does that? I mean, he could have just said, you know, come, it's not working, come five times a week instead of a couple. But he, like you said, he was holistic. He was looking at me body, mind, and spirit, not only in body.
Yeah, that's so truly amazing. But you're so divinely guided. And every time you get like the help exactly at the right timing. And you have such a big purpose in this world. So that's why you are not able to leave this earth yet until you have this huge mission accomplished. And testing them again, right? The universe is testing you, or higher source is testing to see how truly powerful you are. And every time I feel like You're like, okay, I see that. So the first time, yes, I feel disempowered. But then the second time, I'm more empowered and more divinely guided. Third time, I don't know what your third is, but yeah, you want to let me know.
I do, because there might be somebody out there who really needs to hear this. Right when COVID was hitting, three things happened. We had mold in our place, which was bad enough. But there's also something that a lot of women and men don't know about and can take you down. And it's so indicative right now in our world. And that is that we're being given black box antibiotics. A lot of times when a person has a bladder infection or a sinus infection, they're given Cipro, or for me, it was nitrofurantoin. And nitrofurantoin had been an old chemotherapy drug, and it had black box warnings saying that it can cause like tremendous neurological problems and really attack the whole tendons and muscles in your body and take people down. They have what they call flux. So if anybody, any of your listeners have ever recently taken any kind of antibiotics that are in that range, they might want, and they have this mystery thing, and they are in agony. They can't sleep. They're just like very sickly. They can't eat. I mean, it takes people down. And I have been, you know, that was the third thing that happened between taking the vaccine, having the black box antibiotics, and having the mold. And then probably because of the two other things beforehand, once again, it took me down. After working with the Self-Worth Initiative, we were doing shows in New York and Miami for kids and their families. It was wonderful. But this was the third one. And on this third one, it took, you know, again, it took a long time to kind of get my strength back. But that's why I'm doing this musical, because I hate to say this, but I have been a champion of giving my power away a lot to the medical community, a lot to drugs that have been given to me where I haven't had the voice or didn't feel like I had the voice, and then watch the reaction from people and see, you know, what that feels like, because sometimes that can feel like the most lonely place in the world, especially if you don't have somebody who's championing you. And so that was the third one. And it was one of those, like, why do I always get the mystery things?
Yeah.
Is it always kind of like not that I want anything more, I don't. But, you know, it's like, why is that? And I think it's because, you know, my dad used to say to me all the time, he said, Deborah, you're not going to know this, but you're an angel on earth. And I'm like, how can so many bad things be happening if positive thinking, and if, you know, if in our culture we believe that we get what we really, you know, believe, then what's wrong with me, right? I mean, oh my gosh, you know, how can, in the spiritual world, how can that even be? When all I want to do is love and make a difference. But I think I'm coming to terms with the feeling that it's always been a redirect. And it's always been to challenge me into something bigger. Because if I hadn't had this third thing happen, I'd be happy, you know, being a grandma, saying, hey, I've written books, I've been a best-selling artist, I've, you know, done the corporate, I've had so many incarnations. But this one just made me go, no, go for the dream you've always had. See if you can make it happen. Look for the singers, like I'm inviting singers and dancers. If there, any of your listeners are have these creative talents where they might want to get involved, or, you know, investors and just patrons, you know, people who love theater, anybody who loves that kind of stuff, I'm just encouraging them to bring their talents forward, because at least for me, creativity has been the superpower that's brought me back every single time.
Yeah, and I truly believe creativity, we have it all within us. It just shows up differently. And yours is literally manifesting in a musical and children's book and all that amazingness. Mine is probably a little different. I'm not very good at art at all, but mine is through my podcasting and like other things.
Exactly. And you can't, everybody's got their gift. My dad used to say that you know what you are when you're a kid. Whatever you're natural at is what you should be doing right now. So for me, I was like a natural social worker. I was always like, you know, wanting to just hold somebody's hand, just be there. And I was a natural born artist, always, you know, in all kinds of creative ways. And so for everybody, it's different. But look at me. Here's this social worker artist going into corporate.
Yeah.
Really? So bam, upside the head. Nope, shift. And then all of a sudden I'm starting to move in that direction. And then again, shift, bring it, you know, bring that creativity more to the table. And then now it's like, I hope I'm done with those challenges, but you know, who knows what's in store. All I know is that I'm here to serve. I really care and I want to make a difference.
Yeah, and you are. And look at the bright light that you're bringing right now. You're so happy. And I would have never known that all that stuff happened to you. You look so healthy, happy. And it's like, I guess all the hardships has really brought you into cherishing what you can do right now with the health that you have. And that's exactly what happened to me with my health journey and then going through infertility and then finally having my daughter. And she brings me so much pure joy. And, you know, all these little things, really, all the hardships that bring or come up in your life really, truly help you put things into perspective, or else you're never really going to appreciate it or understand it. And so when you can actually take your power and understand that perception of, whoa, what am I going through, and finding that lesson and then coming out like stronger and more powerful and just so much happier, you like literally leveled up, which is so amazing. And then you're getting closer to your true callings or your true mission or your soul being that you're meant to live and be, you know, doing what you're meant to do. And I truly believe that, right? Like, this is how we are connected and this is how you found me, or, you know, vice versa. And this is why we're supposed to connect, because our souls wanted to align with one another, or like the listeners, et cetera, the energy that we give off is, you know, similar, which is pretty cool. And so
that is so beautiful. And I also want to share, because I think it's important to say, I'm in chronic pain every day.
What?
I'm in chronic pain every day to the point sometimes it makes me cry. And creativity for me, what I'm working on is the counterbalance. I know what it feels like to shrink. I know what it feels like to be in bed. I know what it feels like to give up. I know what it feels like to be on the sidelines. I know what it feels like to be abandoned. I know just all those emotions. And I choose to take that and channel it towards something that brings me joy and love. So there might be somebody out there, you know, who's like, well, yeah, that's great that she's like, okay. And I am, but I also want to be very, very forthright for anybody listening that, you know, so many times people have told me, you look great. And I'm like, yeah, if you only knew.
Yeah.
If you only knew, for all of us. All of us. But it's where there's another big observation. And maybe this is like the biggest point that I can make today, is that we are so addicted to solving problems. And
yeah.
I'm one of the biggest.
Same. Right?
I just, because like, if I solve the problem and I'm well, then I can live my life. If I solve the problem with that relationship, then I can have the love. If I solve the problem, and solving. But guess what happens when we're solving problems? We're focused on the problem. And we kind of know that, but we don't, because we've been taught that otherwise we could be a failure. Otherwise we didn't do it right. You know, there's a lot of pressure, but there's another way. And another way is say, okay, problem, I see you. And this is what I want to do with my day that's filled with wonder. And this is what I want to do with my day that gives me a sense of connection. And this is what I want to do with my day and sit and cry and really feel the feeling. It's all okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Thank you for sharing that. That is so true. And when you do focus on the problem, it manifests more so. But I also realize that, you know, we try to solve the problem because we cannot let go. It's kind of like controlling a situation or the situation. And so if you feel like you have control of it, then you're like, oh, okay, I know the outcome. And it's because our nervous system, or we've been so jaded by all the things in our life that we're just like, ah, I just want to have some security. And our body and our nervous system is not allowing us to. So this is why we're seeking. So I'm sure you're a high achiever, you know, and that's why you're always like able to seek. And I'm pretty sure we're similar in that sense, because I'm a high achiever and I'm always trying to seek answers. And then obviously you're seeking answers so much that you obviously get some type of illness or some sort manifesting, and it has to reel us back in to slow down. And then once we slow down, and then we learn, and we're like, okay, let's go back into it again. And then it comes back again, and we get the lesson. You're like, all right, I hear you. What do you need to remind me again? Right.
Exactly. And it's an interesting thing, because we think the addiction is food. We think the addiction is alcohol. We think the addiction is drugs or whatever it might be. But really, 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 it's trying to solve unsolvable problems.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they really are kind of unsolvable. You know, I mean, some people really do have cancer and they're going to pass. Some people really do have chronic illness and they're in pain. Some people, you know, just I could go on forever. And yet, you know, it would be cheating or cruel to say to anybody else, just get over it. Because that, I don't think that's realistic. I think that we find our way in our time, but there's something that can be so powerful where we're collecting information that we can then heal ourselves, become whole, mm-hmm. and then become that bright light in the world, because we are lit up.
Yeah.
From the inside out.
Yeah, and that literally showed when you went to acupuncture, and then your acupuncturist told you to go, you know, to improv, and you're just like, what? And just literally laughing and being in the environment, which brings you joy and happiness, literally brought the life back into your body, which is so insane, but it does make sense.
It was crazy. It was crazy, Kathy. I mean, to this day, it's like, oh my gosh, I did. I laughed because, you know, making a fool out of yourself makes you laugh. Yeah.
And that's so beautiful that you were able to really heal yourself just from doing that. And I'm sure other things. But how are you managing your day-to-day life with chronic illness? Because I do have listeners that have endometriosis and they are dealing with a chronic illness every single day and chronic inflammation. I've actually put my endo into remission with my lifestyle. So, I mean, I don't have that, but I remember the pain when I had endometriosis and I could not sleep at night because it would flare up around like 1 to 3 a.m. in the morning for some odd reason every night. And I was just so scared to sleep because I was like, if I sleep, I'm going to wake up in excruciating pain. And at the time, I hated taking like very, very strong drugs to like help with the pain management, because it always made me feel weird. Like it made me feel groggy and just not me. And I knew that's not what I wanted to or try to avoid. And my husband was like, dude, can you just take the medicine and avoid it? I'm like, no, I'll take it when it flares up. And then, of course, it would flare up. I'd be in pain and then I would take the pain med, and then it would take like an hour or two, depending on how it digested in my body, to kick in. And I was just remembering being in so much pain, like kneeling at the side of the bed trying to scrunch up to like relieve the pain a little bit until the pain finally relieved. And I just understand that pain every single day. And you're living through that now. And I know a lot of my listeners too have to deal with that on a day-to-day basis as well. So I know besides finding your inner amazingness and happiness, what else are you doing on a daily basis to help with your chronic illness?
I really want to go back to this self-worth and self-esteem, because I think that we're in a society that's so like, you know, what do you do? You know, if you meet somebody, what do you do? You know, one of the first questions, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And if you're in pain and you can't show up like you want to, it's like there's silence there. And I think one of the biggest lessons that I have learned and still learning is self-love. Because once again, be kind to yourself. That number one and foremost, be sweet to yourself. Because a lot of times I would look on the outside and see how people treated me to determine what my worth was. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't understand, or if they thought, oh gosh, she's making it up, or what, if my words meant nothing, then I would beat up on myself. I really would. And I'd feel tremendous shame and hurt. So I think the number one thing people can start to do when they're really hurting is like, how would you treat your best friend or your dog or your baby? You know, would you yell and say, hey, get out of bed. What's wrong with you? Geez, you're just like, or would you just go, wow, what can I do that would make me feel a little bit better? So that's the first thing. The second thing is a counterbalance, which for me is the musical or some kind of creative thing. Because when you are using your hands and your mind and your spirit, you can come back from pretty much anything. I think that one of the things that my dad was kind of like a Yoda dad. And he said this, and this is one of my favorite stories. So I tell it all the time to anybody who will listen. Because he said, one of the most powerful quasi-emotions that take people down every single time. Most people would say it's fear, but he said it was disappointment. And he told me why. He said, when you're excited, you've got all the feel-good chemicals going on. You've got the endorphins and the adrenaline and the oxytocin. And then you're like all lit up. You try something and then you hit a wall. When you hit that wall, all those feel-good chemicals go out of your body. But you're not conscious of it. It's not like you think, oh, I'm a walking, talking chemical factory going through all this stuff. You're not conscious of that. All you know is you feel horrible. But you go, you know what? I'm going to try again. I'm going to see what I can do. So you go out there, you try to make it happen. And guess what happens? You hit a wall again. And when you hit the wall, there dissipates all of those feel-good emotions or those chemicals until, and this is what he said that scared me, he said, until you flatline and you never want to try again. And he said, Deborah, most people in life, they flatline and they never get up again. And this is why, and they don't even know how to explain it to themselves or anybody else. And I'm like, but Dad, okay, so what do you do in that situation when that hits? And I guess he was saying, well, that's kind of like the fake it till you make it. You have to understand that those chemicals will get depleted and then they'll rise up and then they'll get depleted and then they'll rise up. And if you can ride that wave and understand that, then you can go the distance.
Wow, that's so powerful. And what came up to me that I heard before too, it's kind of like a heartbeat that you were explaining, right? It goes up and down. And when you flatline, that's when you're dead and you don't want to ever flatline, right? You want to go up and down.
Right. Oh, wow, Kathy, I got goosebumps on that one. That was good. I've never heard that before. That's brilliant. Yes. Yes.
That's our life. And that's why the heart is so important. You want to keep going up and down. And you don't want to flatline ever. And when you do flatline, that's why we feel so worthless. And when we're down and, you know, when you're at the flatline point, you feel defeated and you just felt like giving up. That's, you know, and usually you're in that depressed state of victimhood of whatever it may be to like keep you at that flatline. And I feel like a lot of us right now are in that state.
Yeah.
Know that every down, there's an up. And that's how life is. And that's what makes life exciting, the human experience exciting. It really is.
Well, I love the way I had never heard that, but you're absolutely correct. It is like a heartbeat, you know? And so anytime you feel disappointment, just kind of step back and go, oh, I had real good, feel good chemicals that just left my body and I'm feeling really bad. Let me be kind to myself until I can kind of get that second wind.
Yeah. And I love how you brought up the point of self-love. It really, truly is. That's what I always teach people about. Self-love, self-care. Self-love is so important. That emotional aspect of what you give to your spouse or somebody else, your kids, etc., even, you know, your pets. And you need to give that love and emotion back to yourself. And if you don't truly love yourself, you're not going to be winning in life because other people are going to be taking your power and be taking all of your feelings and your emotions, everything, right? And if you know yourself, if you love yourself, you know your self-worth, you know everything about yourself, and you're just not going to let other people's words dictate or affect you. And you know how powerful that is? Like that.
Well, that's why
it's like reflecting off, right? You're preventing a shield over you. So self-love is like creating that energy of shield around yourself. And whenever someone tries to put the negative energy at you, it's kind of like reflecting it off of you. And just imagine it like, boom, boom, boom. And you're just like in this little bubble of shield of happiness and pure joyness. Of course, you're all not going to be high all the time, you know, but life happens. But for the most part, you're going to be able to jump back faster. And that's what you did. You're able to jump back every single time better and faster, I'm sure, than, you know, the first time that you got sick. So it just does take a lot of self-love and self-worth and all the mindset and truly going forward and just hoping for the best too and following your mission and dreams. So thank you for today. It was so amazing. Literally, we aligned so much. I've learned so much wisdom from you today. And just you talking about your stories, I'm like, whoa, this aligns with me. Not exactly, but I understand. And yes, your stories manifested your way. Your life lessons manifested your way. And it shows how similar we are and that our mission is similar and just empowering other people to just truly empower themselves to take back their life so they can find joy and comfort in whatever their mission is. So thank you for being here in a light.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I so appreciate this opportunity. You are a bright light.
Oh, thank you so much. And I can't wait to see where this musical goes. And if it's on Broadway one night, I'm going to go and I'm going to be like, oh,
she made it. She did it.
I totally see it. It's going to be there. And, you know, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to be there and visit you and meet you in person. And I'm going to manifest this for both of us. And I can't wait to see where else this, you know, takes you and this journey takes you. It's so amazing. And you're such a bright light. Look at like how glowing you are, even though you're in chronic pain. So anybody listening who has chronic pain right now or who has, you know, some type of pain, know that if Deborah can make her dreams come true, you can too. So thank you everyone for listening. Bye. Thank you so much for spending this time with me on Ignite Your Power with Kathy Mao podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, take a deep breath and know this, you're exactly where you're meant to be. If you're feeling called to go deeper, I'd love to support you. You can work with me one-on-one or book a numerology guidance card reading with me. All are in the show links below. And if this episode supported you in any way, please share with someone who needs it, leave a review, or take a screenshot and tag me on social media. Your support helps this message reach more souls who are ready to step into their power. Until next time, keep choosing yourself, keep trusting your journey, and keep living your bliss soft life. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!